Vel, vel,
said Arnoid the Annihilator Droid, scrutinizing his prey with an undisguised air of contempt.
So you are Raja Virko, the man I have been sent across the galaxy to track down. You were too easy to find. You tend to leave a trail of mess wherever you go.
Roger said, glaring at his captor, wondering what the hell was going on. His windpipe was taking some serious punishment, and Roger struggled helplessly like a gazelle in a lion's maw to escape the android's iron grip. The Annihilator decided to cut the crap and get to the point.
I have been sent by the Gitazoid Novelty Company,
the droid announced, a red glimpse flashing across his visual scanner.
It seems that you forgot to pay for that Terror Beast mating whistle you acquired during your stay at Labion. Non-payment is a serious offense,
the android said, stressing the words carefully, the killer look intensifying immensely.
And the good folks at Gitazoid are most displeased.
Said Roger, his face reddening. Breathing was becoming a challenge.
With late charges, that comes to around 6,235 buckazoids. Now, you don't look like you're carrying around that kind of money to me. Would you care to prove me wrong?
The android's mechanical eyes squinted. Roger elaborated.
No, I didn't think so,
said Roger weakly. The android looked as if he couldn't care less. In truth, it had actually carefully calculated how long it would take for it to kill his captive at this rate, and had carefully timed his speech to be exactly a couple of seconds shorter than that time. He wasn't about to show his hand, however.
Now, just because I'm in such a good mood, I'm going to give you a chance to run. I'm going to let you go, then count to 10 real slow. If you make it to your ship, I forget I ever ran into you.
Roger liked this idea.
But if you don't, I dust you like bundt cake.
Roger didn't like that idea. With that, the android released its grip. Roger fell to the sandy ground, panting and gasping for lost air. The android stood above him, towering in his full 2 meters height, glaring down at his puny prey. He clicked a button on his belt and vanished into thin air. Roger could hear his modulated voice seemingly coming from thin air.
10?
A couple of seconds passed.
9?
This jittered something in Roger. He jumped to his feet and bolted in the direction of the Mallard. Although it wasn't visible, the android grinned a deceivingly mean grin. What an ignorant humanoid. Not a challenge at all. When Roger was within 50 meters distance from his ship, he froze dead in his tracks. Right in front of him, a small black creature strode purposefully toward him. It was tiny, but its iridescent black skin seemed to pulsate rhythmically. White flashes of what looked like static discharged off its pointy tail every so often. The creature looked menacing for its size. A traumatic flashback hit Roger square in the face, and he realized what the creature was. A scorpozoid. He had encountered one a long time ago, visiting the Zoological Center at Xenon. As an experimentatious and fearless 10-year-old, he had bravely opened the unprotected cage containing the scorpozoid. The only reason he survived the inevitable attack that followed was the scorpozoid had been neutralized and no longer had an electrical charge to attack with. However, it still scared the hell out of Roger whenever he was reminded of one. Scorpozoids were indigenous to Fleabut, a fact that Roger was unaware of. Had he known, he wouldn't have landed on the planet in the first place. Roger flinched insanely, as if fear itself drop-kicked him in the stomach, and landed on the sandy ground. The scream that tried to escape his lips only came out as a pathetic whimpering. He watched wide-eyed as the small creature strode with lightning-fast speed in his direction. Roger's brain had gone into neutral and was no longer in control of anything. His reflexes took over as Roger scrambled furiously to his feet and bolted frantically in the opposite direction. The scorpozoid, having only one thing in its mind, set in pursuit. Soon, Roger found himself back at Fester's World of Wonders, sharply followed. He had hoped to seek refuge in Fester's shop, but this hope was quickly shattered when he noticed the locked door and the sign reading "closed" hanging from the front door. To Roger, it was like the sign spelled out, "Sorry, you're doomed." In disbelief, he stopped and glanced at the sign. The interior beyond the door was darkened, and Fester was nowhere to be seen. Roger looked over his shoulder and saw the quickening approach of the hell-bent creature. Roger's eyes immediately doubled in size and with startling speed bolted for safety. Rounding the statue's left leg, Roger found a door with a plaque over it reading, "Do not enter." He quickly questioned his ethics and moral principles and had a speedy debate over whether or not to violate the wishes of the owner. Then he remembered who the owner was and decided, to hell with the moral spew. He tore open the door, which, to his amazing luck, was unlocked, and jumped into the darkness beyond. He closed the door behind him, but noticed a small amount of light still enter the room. There was a crack below the door. And then, to his horror, he noticed the small, spider-like legs of the Scorpazoid trying to squeeze itself under the door. Roger knew it would only be a matter of time before it would succeed. He backed away nervously and hit his head forcefully on something metallic. He gasped, turned around, and stared at the freight elevator behind him. Luck was playing him like a flute, he thought, as he jumped aboard the elevator pad and started to look frantically for the controls. He found them, attached to the remote control on the metal railing. He squinted his eyes, trying to read the labels, and found one he thought was labeled Ascend. He pressed it. There was a loud noise, followed by the uneasy grinding of gears. The elevator stuttered to life and began to ascend. Roger looked to the door and noticed that the little legs were gone. Either the Scorpazoid had given up, or... Roger's muscles tightened, and his breath refused to exhale. "Or it's in here." He looked around on the still ascending pad furiously, searching for movement in the darkness. He couldn't find any, but his body refused to relax anyway. His mind was ranting, "What if it's here? What if it's waiting? You can't tell in the darkness." Roger's paranoia had almost escalated to unprecedented levels when the elevator reached the end destination. The trip had taken no more than 10 seconds or so, but it had felt like an eternity to Roger. The room he stepped out into was lit by a couple of fluorescent lights in the ceiling. He was staring at a large engine which, he guessed correctly, made the Mog statue move. Gears and cogs were everywhere, all grinding away happily. The floor was grated and stairways led into the second floor, where seemingly all the controls were placed. Roger went up the stairs and looked over the controls. They didn't interest him that much, to be perfectly honest. All he really wanted to do was to stay up here for as long as it took to convince the Scorpazoid that he wasn't coming down. Mindlessly, he banged his head again, this time on a pulley which hung from the ceiling. He mouthed a word of extreme profanity, annoyed that this was the second time in the course of a few minutes that he'd been hit over the head. He looked up and saw that the pulley encircled the room. However, all it was attached to was a hook, and it wasn't hooked up to any system, so it currently seemed to serve no purpose. He cursed again, gave the thing a slam with a clenched fist, and spent a couple of seconds tending to an aching hand. Then, amidst the grinding of the gears, he heard a different sound. He turned and looked. To his surprise, the elevator was descending back down to the floor level. He could see the chain in the shaft moving upwards. Roger wondered if this was some sort of automatic system that brought the elevator down after a set period of time. But then, to his horror, he saw the chain moving downwards, indicating that the elevator was ascending again. Roger stood still, transfixed, as he witnessed the elevator reaching its destination, this time transporting the Arnoid Annihilator droid. Roger's heart immediately made a break for his throat, and his breathing turned shallow.
"I see you, Vilko,"
the droid chanted menacingly.
"Your time is up."
The droid headed purposefully for the stairway and proceeded to climb them. Roger backed away nervously and came to a halt when his back hit a protective railing surrounding the floor. He cast a quick look down and saw the elevator descending to the floor level again. The shaft was a clear 30-meter drop down to the floor level, definitely a bone-breaking stunt in any event. Roger was trapped. The killer android had reached the top of the stairs and was striding resolutely in his direction. Roger looked up and saw the pulley that had previously caused him a headache. Now, he thought, it might just be his last chance at survival. Mustering as much strength as he could in a panic situation, he grabbed the pulley and swung it forcefully at the android. The android only had enough time to flinch before it was struck hard in the face. Balance lost, the killer reeled and fell to the floor. Only, the floor wasn't there. What he landed on was a massive gear grinding away merrily. With some extra effort, the gear managed to keep grinding, even though a load of extra tough metal had suddenly been introduced. Had the gear possessed human qualities, it would have felt immensely proud that it had just managed to dismantle an Arnoid Annihilator droid limb from metallic limb and spit him out on the floor below, and still keep running. Roger sat back on the floor, trying to catch the breath that was outrunning him at this point. His heart and pulse joined together to perform a catchy salsa beat. Eventually, his system calmed down, and Roger dared walk down the stairs and examine the android's remains. He looked over the sad pile of twisted metal on the floor. Among the pile, he found the android's black belt. He picked up and examined it, curiously. It was completely black and contained only one button on it. It was the android's personal cloaking belt. Roger pocketed the belt and stood up. Then suddenly, there was a bright flash from the floor below, and Roger saw the elevator rise once again. Fester stepped out of the elevator.